Well, folks, here we are. Another week of Dan's Dabble and Babble. And unfortunately, I'm out of European cities to talk about, which I am so heartbroken. I mean, let's be honest. If I could make a career out of just going from city to city and podcasting about it, sign me up. Let me know if you've got a way that you can work that out for me, because I am all ears. Thank you for allowing me to take a break last weekend. A couple of things happened and I ended up not getting an episode together. I was in Indiana, so I was intending on getting an episode out before I left for Indiana, or getting it scheduled anyway. And it just didn't happen, so couldn't record in Indiana, so took last week off. But we're here, and it's June, it's Pride Month, we are gonna give you some great content. I haven't really done anything pridey. I think I missed like the main St. Pete Pride stuff the first weekend last weekend when I was in Indiana. So, you take the wins, you take the losses. It was it's all fine and dandy. But it is also now officially summer, and I'm thrilled it's summer. Obviously, I've got some time off. So I've talked on the podcast about how I am actually switching jobs. And so I am going to be joining the exciting world of college counseling at the school that I've been working at. So I actually will no longer have a summer, which I'm actually very excited about. So one thing I realized last summer, but really anytime I have a significant amount of time off where I'm just idle, a couple of things happen. So first and foremost, I need to be doing something. It's not good for me from an anxiety standpoint to just kind of sit and stew with my thoughts. So I love a good balance. I love being able to, just binge some Survivor here and there and have that flexibility and that freedom. But I also really just try to fill my days and fill my schedule with other things, because, the great thing about being a teacher is lots of my friends are teachers, so they've got time off too, so we can hang out. But one of the big draws for me to switch from higher education to K-12 education was an actual summer break. Because in higher ed, even the university that I was at, which was predominantly undergrad, I was technically, I believe, on a 10-month contract, but I still had research expectations. While I was there, I was still in grad school as well. So it really didn't have a summer off while I was a professor, because as an academic, the summers are when you get so much of your research work done, and actually have time to get that taken care of. So that was a big draw. I had been working really hard throughout my graduate program, and it's like, it would be really nice to just have some time in the summer to unwind, and that seems like a great balance. And obviously I'm very passionate about teaching, passionate about all of that, so it seemed like the best of both worlds. And then last summer was really the first summer I had, and this is, I know, just the most annoying rant to go on for anybody that works a 12-month position, but I loved last summer. I really got into the gym, and I'm a cross country coach. So I would coach cross country in the morning, go to the gym in the afternoon. So that was really good for me. And so there's a lot that comes, a lot of good that comes out of it. But really by the end, I think kind of all of us are like, okay, we're refreshed and ready to get back to work. There's a certain point where it's like, okay, so this is my last summer that I foresee having for quite a long time, because I start my new position in July. And so I've been thinking about what are some things that I want to accomplish or to get done this summer. And, you know, I really kind of just last week was thinking about two kind of home projects. Now, home projects are really interesting because there's like, there's any list, there's an unending list of things that I can walk around my house and think that I would like to do that. This really needs done. There are certainly some unsexy things that need done. Knock on wood, I'm eventually going to need to replace an air conditioner. I could use new windows. There's like some things that it's like, okay, but those are boring. Now, if I could just swing for the fences, I would replace the floors in my main level. But I don't think that's going to happen this summer. And that's fine because, you know, I was, as I mentioned, in Indiana. And so, of course, my mom and I watch some HGTV. And, you know, when I was in undergrad and in grad school, I would watch HGTV and it's like, okay, so like, you know, you can buy a fixer upper and then just invest this money. And then like, great, you have this beautiful new house and it's exactly how you want it. And how fun is that, that you get to design and you get to just really, you know, kind of put your stamp on things. So I've lived in this house now for almost 2 years. I closed on it June 30th, 2 years ago. So the first thing I did was in the master bedroom, it was very clear that, well, okay, so it was very clear that the seller hastily did some things as they were trying to sell. So they painted most of the house this like tan color, which is like, it's neutral, it's fine. I don't really mind it. The guest bedroom is like a very light purple color that actually looks really nice. But in the master bedroom, they had one wall was a very dark teal, opposite from a light pink wall, and then the other two walls were like a dark gray. So it was like, what the heck was going on in there? So it was like, it honestly made me a little bit woozy to sit around, to sit in that room when it was painted like that. So the first thing I did was painted my master bedroom. And it's like, okay, so I've done something to this. This place is mine. And that's really the only work that I've done. I replaced appliances and stuff like that. But for the rest of it, like the kitchen was nice and everything. And that was a big selling point to the home is like there wasn't going to be a list of projects that, you know, I had to accomplish to, feel okay about living here. And I'll also just remind you, so moving in 2 years ago, that puts me in June of, the first year of the pandemic. So even things like what was really surprising to me is, you know, and I had seen this happen with my dad when he would do projects. It's like, oh, I need a different bolt. Because that's another thing that I had to do is I had to install a closet door. But that's a different story. That was the other thing. It was like they had most of the hardware for the closet door in my master bedroom, but it wasn't actually installed. So I had to pick up something for that and install that too. And it's like, That's where I'm saying it's just like, it's just kind of weird. Like you had all this stuff. Like, why did you just give up at like just short of, cause it was not hard to install the door by any means. You know, but like I would see it happen with my dad where he would like pick up the wrong size bolt or whatever and, have to run to the hardware store. And it just like, those little annoyances as you're doing anything add up, and I just get very frustrated very quickly. Like, I am definitely someone who thrives on convenience, and I certainly don't want to waste my time running back and forth to the hardware store, and there's not, like, a great hardware store that's super convenient. It takes me probably about 15 minutes, so that's 30 minutes there and back, plus the time in the hardware store and all of that. The other thing is, you know, we've all got this perennial COVID excuse of supply chain issues. But I was like, okay, so this will be fun to go in and pick out my appliances. And it was like, okay, I would like this oven. And they're like, oh, we can't actually get that. I would like this dishwasher. Oh, we can't actually get that. So finally I was like, okay, like you tell me what you can actually get like within the next month or so. And let's just do it that way because I'm not going to waste any more time looking around. So it's like, so it's those types of things where it's like HGTV just paints this rosy picture that like the contractors come in and then like something will happen and there'll be drama, but then the contractor will come up with a solution and all of that. And, you know, my parents are redoing their bathrooms right now. They're having their own experiences with contractors. And so it's just like any project just becomes such an undertaking, right? I will say, except for painting, painting really went pretty smoothly. You know, I picked up the materials that I needed. I researched like how much paint to buy, and I had enough paint. You know, the prep work was like, it was, I mean, a full day at least, probably. I think I did it over multiple days. I don't really remember, but it's, I mean, it's definitely work, but it's work that you can plan for. And then it just feels really nice to get it done. But then the other thing about HGTV is you have these amazing designers that are picking things out for you and making things work for you and coming up with solutions. It's like, I don't have that. I'm not a designer. I don't have a designer on my staff. It's like sorting through the options and getting decisions and coming up with ideas even of, you know, what even should I be thinking about. And I do have a friend that's a realtor that like is definitely down to bounce ideas off, which is nice from her perspective of what would sell. But then the other thing that I get into with my house is like, and this is one thing about selling houses, and I know I'm going on like a million tangents, but that's the show. That's the show. Dan's Dabble in Tangents today. But one thing about selling a house that I have never understood is like when, like my seller did, when they paint everything tan, like I saw pictures, some of the pictures online, like the living room was like this dark red color, which was like not necessarily my vibe, but it also didn't look bad. But like, why is it that you go through this effort to paint things these neutral colors and just make everything really boring with the idea being that like the new owner is going to come in and paint the walls what they want anyway? Like what if I did want a maroon living room and like now you wasted time painting the walls and now I have to go back and paint the walls again when it was originally that color, you know? So I don't understand. But then it's like, okay, are you doing things with the idea of, you know, it's everything is just so uncertain. That's life, right? Like I could be in this house for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Who knows? I could be in this house for 2 more years. You just don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, the market right now is prohibitive, but it's like, I kind of see myself in a single family home instead of a townhome. So it's like, I'm adding that into my calculus of when I make a decision on what to do with my home, like, am I doing this with the idea that I'm going to sell it in the near future? Where, cause like, I mean, I don't know how often you should paint your walls, like how, like when it really needs done again, but like all the walls right now look fine. And like my bedroom looks great. I don't plan on painting that again. So I went with like a sage green. I certainly don't plan on painting that when I sell it. And cause like, I don't want to pay a bunch of money and I don't want to do a bunch of work on my house when I'm trying to sell it. And I know like if and when I get into a place where I'm selling it, I'm just going to have to eat it and deal with it because that's apparently how the market goes. But I don't know. I mean, and there's a number of factors there, but that's something that I struggle with too, is like, am I making decisions that are going to be generically pleasing or am I making decisions that really speak to me and that I, am going to be happy with? And I, you know, like, I think my artwork, my furniture, I think like all of that captures my personality, in a real way. So it's like, I get that too, but it's, I don't know. I'm someone who's bright and vibrant, and I like that vibe, and I would not be afraid to go bold and daring with a paint color. But it is one of those things too, that like, once it's up, I'm going to live with that for a while. Like, I don't want to think about having to change that either. Like, do I do something that like is my personality? Do I do something for the market? And what I have ultimately decided, I think, is like, I'm doing something that kind of strikes the balance, right? Like, it's my main thing that I'm hoping for here is, so a couple of things, couple of tangents here. So yes, I could, like, I've done very well, I think, with the time that I bought. Real estate has just shot up. So this has been a good investment for me. So like, selling might be an option, but I could also keep this. Like, this would be a pretty good rental property. But then what do you do about all of these things for renters? Like, when I rent this out, am I going to have to paint everything neutral colors? Or like, I don't know, like, as a renter, that is something that actually drove me insane as a renter, was that all apartments are just these white walls or these off-white walls or these beige walls that have no character and they're boring. And I was never in a place where I was going to be in a long-term rental where it's like, you can paint it and then paint it back, sure. But it's like, one, that just seems like, it always seemed like a waste of money to me to paint a landlord's walls. And also, I just like put myself in the shoes of, eventually I'm going to move out, and I am going to be pissed that in the midst of packing and everything else that I'm moving. And it turns out, really, I've only moved within the same city once, and that was in Milwaukee. And that was kind of an emergency situation because the boiler and the building that I was living in broke in December in Milwaukee. So I didn't have heat. So I moved to a place that had a working heater. And just a side note, like, I loved that apartment, and the apartment that I moved to that had heat after the apartment didn't have heat. Like, it was just a great apartment. But then I was moving out of state from that apartment to a different apartment. And then from that apartment, I moved out of state into Florida. Like in the midst of all of that, I would have been livid if I would have then had to have painted the walls as I'm trying to get out of town. This is just the joy of homeownership, right? Is having these things to take care of and then having these decisions to think about, because, you know, I've mentioned I live in a townhome, so it would be a great rental. Anyway, I don't need to unload all of my internal dialogue about that on here now. Yeah, it's that. So that's the project that I'm I'm really excited about. So I've picked out 10 swatches and a range of color families. My main thing is, I really want to brighten the space because I'm in an interior townhome. So like, my living room has good natural light. My kitchen has good natural light. I'm painting the dining room. The dining room is in a space where like, there doesn't have a lot of access to windows. So it's just kind of dark. And like, part of that is the light fixture too, which is a whole other thing. So I want to brighten it up. But I'm also like, are there like trends in painting right now that I'm missing? Like, what should I be thinking about? What should I be thinking about? Like, what am I missing? What do I not know? I mean, I looked at like some articles to give suggestions, and you know, I've got some color families that I think speak to my personality and will brighten it up. So I'm excited. I'll keep you posted on what I end up doing with that. But in the meantime, if you've got any suggestions on paint trends or things that I should think about, or just home stuff in general, definitely feel free to reach out to me either on Instagram at Daniel Burkett or on Twitter at Babbling Dan. So the other project is right after I moved here, a coworker very generously happened to be giving away a full nice bedroom suit. I forget exactly the reasons why. They were having a new kid and like they just were reorganizing, rearranging, and but it's this nice wooden furniture. And I put it in my guest bedroom because I was like, this is perfect. I was going to have to buy guest bedroom furniture anyway. And this is actually like, this is way nicer than what I was going to get. But my master bedroom is furniture that is just like hand-me-down, not hand-me-downs. Well, okay. It's just like cobbled together of things that I've picked up from like undergrad to grad school, really grad school and on. So it's like I've got a hand-me-down dresser, which like as a grad student I was thrilled to have. Like my bed is just a bed frame. I've got a headboard, but it doesn't actually like attach, and it's like not, it's not like anything special. It's just like a wooden headboard. It's kind of boring. One of my favorite purchases I've ever made though is the mattress that I have. There was a crazy sale, Memorial Day one year. It was the year that I started as a professor. It was like every dollar that you spent on a mattress, you then got $2 to spend on other furniture. So for the price of my mattress, I got my mattress, my sofa, and a nice recliner, all for that price. So that was, a great purchase. And so it's like, so the bed, the most important part, like the mattress is super comfy, super great. But I'm like, so my intention was like, eventually I would shop for bedroom furniture that I actually liked, when I moved down here, and it's been 2 years and I haven't done it. So I'm like, okay, forget this. I'm going to take the nice guest bedroom furniture and I'm going to move it into the master bedroom. So those are my exciting home projects that I'm getting into, is just doing some furniture rearrangements, which that's like another thing that I really struggled with was, and my cousin and I have talked about this, but it's really weird to like, especially when you buy a home, like there's something about like, there's something nice about when I was living in apartments. It's like, okay, so your apartment, like you set up how it is and it becomes your den, it becomes your home, and you can make it homey and inviting. But for me, it was always like, this isn't like mine. This isn't like, I don't have to be in love with the apartment. I just have to like the apartment. And when I bought a house, like I'm really happy with my house, but it is like this weird thing of like, how do you make it homey? Like, how do you put your stamp on it? The thing is that like in, I just worked with so many different living room configurations for the first year that I was living here. And I would just like, I would try something and it would just like not be perfect, but I would try that for a few months and then I would rearrange it and I would rearrange it. And so finally I landed on that configuration, but it's like, there's just so many things that happen. And it's like, I'm one person. I need a designer on staff, I think is what I need. And I need to be independently wealthy so I can just like, you know, just snap my fingers and have it done. And it's like, it is enjoyable though to like put time and effort into cultivating a look for your home, cultivating your space and kind of growing into it. And it's like, this is, it's nice that like my first home that I've owned, like it really feels like me, it feels homey. And you know, still growing, figuring out exactly like the functions of things. And and by functions of things, I mean, like, to be honest, I have more space than I need. Like, I could definitely, I'm glad that I have a second bedroom, but the bonus room that I use to record my podcast in, I have done like home workouts in, I guess. And like, it is nice to have the space because there are things that I can do with it, but I don't really like if this was gone, if I was in a smaller space, like really I spend my time in my bedroom. I spend my time in my living room and the kitchen. So it's like, if those are what I've got and if I can have those solid, like I've learned that I don't need an expansive space. Like, I guess it's always nice to have the space, and it's a good problem to have that it's like, okay, I've got this unused space. The other thing that was really important to me is that there's an outdoor space, because especially in Wisconsin, my first apartment had nothing. And it was like, I could go walk around a city block, but I didn't have a place that I could just sit outside. So that was really important to me. So I've got a lanai in my home here. And so as long as I've got an outdoor space, living room, dining room, living room, kitchen, and a good bedroom, like if those pieces come together, I feel like those are the soul of the home. Those are the key components of the home. Okay, so thank you for indulging me in all of that. I'm really looking forward to the time that I've got off. I'm looking forward to being productive in there, and getting some good things done, and also just like having the time to be able to go like to the gym for an hour has been so, so nice, because it's like when you're in the middle of the work week and like you get to the gym later than you wanted, it's like, I just want to be in and out. Like but to have that time to just kind of like relax into the workout and like not have to worry. That's a huge luxury. Like that is honestly priceless. And I've got a few things that I'm looking forward to this summer. So we were in Indiana last week, as I mentioned, for my mom's retirement party, which was really nice. It was my boyfriend's first time to Indiana. He had met my parents before, but he met my brothers, met some of the extended family, and got to see where I grew up. And so it was nice to take him there. And, you know, it's not an exciting place necessarily to take somebody, but, it was nice. I was glad that, he was there with me, and, my mom's party was at a winery. So like, that was very much our vibe. It was a good time. And, I've got a trip coming up soon that I can't say too much about yet. But I've got some good things to look forward to for the summer, and like part of that is just kind of getting excited to plan and spending time doing that. I'm also working on another project. I am going to be submitting an application video for something, a casting video for something, and I just don't want to say too much more about that, because, you know, I don't count your chickens until they've hatched, but that's another fun project to take up some of my time for sure. And also, it is grass season tennis. And I have to say that the Queen's Club Championship, or the Cinch Championship in London, Taylor Fritz plays his first round there tomorrow. The stadium just looks so classy. Like, I think there's something, and maybe it's just the association of grass courts to Wimbledon, but grass court tennis just seems so classy, but the stadium just seems so cool, and it just looks like a really fun time. So that's kind of maybe added to my bucket list of being in London, because I want to go to London anyway, and going to London for a grass court tennis tournament would be a lot of fun. Also, you know, I could work in a trip to London and go to Wimbledon. That would be cool too, because I hear Wimbledon's pretty classy. Yeah, so we've got good tennis to hopefully good tennis to watch, and that's kind of how I'm spending my time. So I'm also, you know, really thinking about different ways to spice up the podcast and different things I can do here. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this in the episode, but I definitely want to spend some time and cultivate some good guests. But I'm going to be honest, guys, I'm over the, you know, we've had amazing guests, honestly, but a lot of the people that pitch themselves to me, are people that are like personal trainers that are just wanting to like sell their like personal trainer shtick. And I just like, I want the interviews on here to be with people that have an interesting story to tell, not just trying to hawk their wares. I mean, by all means, promote their wares, hawk their wares at the end. But like, if there's not an interesting story attached, then you're going to get solo episodes in the meantime. But I'm just thinking of different things that I could do to possibly grow engagement and all that. And so like I did a few weeks ago, I was a guest on someone else's podcast. And I'm not going to say the name of the podcast. I'm not going to say the name of the host because, you know, ultimately I had an okay time with it. But, you know, it was really kind of me driving the episode. And like she kind of like took umbrage when I like mentioned my podcast. And it's like, I'm obviously here to promote my podcast. Like we talked about my research, my chemistry research, which was fun. But it's like, no. I'm definitely going to work in talking about my podcast here. I mean, come on. But the first thing she does is she tells me, like, I do not edit my podcasts. And I'm like, okay. So if I say something that would be objectionable, because like, I don't have those thoughts, so I'm not worried about things like that coming out of my mouth. Like, what if I just kind of fumble over my words and sound like an idiot? Like, you're not going to take the time to just like clean that up and edit that out. And then we start recording, and one of the first things is she like throws me under the bus. She's like trying to find out if I've listened to her podcast before. And to be honest, I hadn't, and maybe I should have, but, anyway, I just like, she conducted just such an unprofessional interview, and ultimately it was fine. But like her following also was not what she led me to believe. So it wasn't really worth my time. The other thing that she did is she charged me. No, she didn't charge me. She sent me an invoice for $25 that was like for a no-show fee. If I didn't show up to the interview, she was going to charge me $25. And it's like, okay, if you have that policy, and she did state that policy as we were booking, and I agreed to that, which like fine, but like don't send me the invoice ahead of time. Wait until I don't show up and then send me the invoice. Like that's like have faith that I'm putting this on my calendar. Like I'm going to be professional and show up and then handle it. It just, I don't know, that entire thing left a sour taste in my mouth, but I guess that's there. And maybe I'm airing my dirty laundry about that. But thank you so much for listening. Please rate us 5 stars, like us on social media, share our episodes, just help get the word out. It's you know, this is my fun little thing, and so I'm glad you guys can have fun with me, and I will babble at you next week.